You cannot stay somewhere, remain unseen, and expect people to respond to you when they don't even know that you exist. You know, in the advertising industry, they say that the man that refuses to advertise is like a man that winks at a girl in the dark. You know, he's making eyes at a lady in the dark. He knows what he is doing, but nobody else does. Are you winking in the dark? You cannot be an effective role model if people cannot see you. They need to be able to see your actions. They need to be able to see your achievements. They need to be able to see your behavior, because that is when they will be, one, inspired, and they would know exactly what they are supposed to do. So the big question today is, right now, are you on a lamp or are you under a basket? Becoming a visible role model. Becoming a visible role model. It's amazing. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 15, New Living Translation. Matthew 5, 14 to 15, New Living Translation. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. I had this interesting experience sometime in the early part of 2001. I was having this discussion with the Holy Spirit, asking, how do we go from 2,000 to 5,000 in our church? And then it was just one day like that. So we had an event coming and we printed flyers, 20,000 flyers. That was a lot at that time. It was the first time we would print that many flyers for an event. So I was really feeling cool about it, right? 20,000. Then the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. What are 20,000 flyers in a city of 12 million people? This is the official count in the city at that time, was 12 million. What are 20,000 flyers? I said, what? What are 20,000 flyers in a city of 12 million people? He said, when Coca-Cola has a product, it goes on TV, goes on radio, goes on billboards. At that time, they used to paint the gates, the signboards of schools, right? And kiosks. They painted everywhere. The Holy Spirit said, but you pastors, you approach things completely differently. He said, when you have an event, he said, what you do is prayer and fasting. You don't advertise. So he said, the whole of the spiritual world is aware that you have events. He said, but the physical world is not aware. He said, so you get to the event and then you don't have many people there. He said, you have a way of consoling yourselves. You tell yourselves, the people that God wanted to be there are the ones that were there. He said, please take me out of your excuse. He said, there are many people that I wanted to be there that were not there because they were not aware that anything was happening. He said, but the place was packed with angels because it's only the spiritual world that you informed of what you were doing. With that, the Holy Spirit shifted my brain, right, as to the importance of advertising, you know, creating awareness about what we were doing. So the next thing I thought of was the professionals in church. So I shared what the Holy Spirit said with our pastors, and I said, please give me a list of the professionals in the advertising industry in this church right now, okay? So we got a list, and I invited them to a meeting. I said, you know what? We're running two services now. We're going to shift to three services very soon. I said, I want us to blanket this city with advertising. We need to blanket this city with advertising. Then they said to me, Pastor, thank you for sharing what the Holy Spirit told you. Sir, there's just one question. Do you think that the average person in this city knows the name of our church? I said, no. No, I said, because I've gotten feedback. When people gave out our flyers, people will look at it and ask, what is this? They said, good. So they said, sir, the place to start is not advertising. The place to start is branding. People need to know the name of our church, and they need to know the benefits that they will get by becoming a part of our church. They need to know the value that they will get. It was a lecture for me, right? Then they said, sir, give us 2 weeks. We'll come back. Long and short of it, we moved into a season where we were spending money that we did not even budget. Every weekend, we were on radio, we were on TV, right? We were on newspapers. I had not seen any church do that until then. Radio, TV, newspapers, every weekend. And then we were on billboards all over the city. Remember, 24 years ago, right? And then we printed flyers. Whenever we printed flyers for our church, it was 100,000, right, at a time. 100,000. Well, we doubled. We doubled in 3 months. We had more than doubled, right? It was boom, 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 right? Good. Because the Holy Spirit was teaching me a basic lesson. You cannot stay somewhere, remain unseen, and expect people to respond to you when they don't even know that you exist. It was a huge lesson. You know, in the advertising industry, they say that the man that refuses to advertise is like a man that winks at a girl in the dark. You know, he's making eyes at a lady in the dark. He knows what he's doing, but nobody else does. Are you winking in the dark? Right? At the time that the Holy Spirit spoke with me, I got to identify what the problem was with the average pastor, right? And the average Christian. And it's from the Bible, right? A mix-up between Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6. Let's have a look at it. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 6, New Living Translation. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gift in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. So, does this not seem to be conflicting? Is Jesus not saying here, don't let people see you. Don't let people see you. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. But you've got to read it in context, because our foundation scripture is from chapter 5, right? The previous chapter. Remember? And Jesus said there in verse 14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Verse 15, he said, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Jesus, which one should we do? He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, right? That's what they said in the next verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So it's easy to see why people are confused, isn't it? Yes. And I'll tell you first, I'll tell you the basic difference between the two passages, the person that is getting the glory. That's all. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven, not you. So let's go back to Matthew 6 and you will see where the problem is, right? Verse 1, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. So you are the one who gets the glory here. He said you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2, when you give to someone in need, don't do as hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and calling attention to their own acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they receive the reward they will ever get. That's all. Because they are getting the glory, right? Verse 4, give your gifts in private and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. So the big issue here is who is getting the glory. Not that you should hide. Amen. It does not pay God and it does not pay you to hide. Pastor Ayo preached a very powerful message on Wednesday, Stratospheric Influence. You need to go watch it. It's on YouTube. It's amazing. On the Daystar page, right? So he did a full scope. And I had not watched it when I got the sensing to just emphasize on this small part today. For you to be a role model. Yeah, and he made an important statement. Who people see is who people follow. I was in the UK and I was praying and praying and praying. And then the Holy Spirit just said to me, it's time for they start to go global. It was March 2009. It's time for they start to go global. But for me to be able to process that instruction, he had to do some adjustment to my brain. He said, the church in Africa is being influenced by the culture from which it has evolved. That culture defines success mainly by the material. He said, and that is influencing even the church. So to measure your success, you measure your success only by the material, by the physical number of people that you can see. He said, look, you can speak to a large crowd. He actually gave me numbers. Huge crowd in Nigeria. Yet the person who speaks to a smaller crowd somewhere else, but puts that message on a powerful TV platform, would reach more people all over the world, influence more people all over the world than you that spoke to the very large crowd. The Holy Spirit spoke these specific words to me. Who people see is who people follow. So he said, they start going global, you would have to leverage media technology. When I got back from that trip, we dissolved a whole department. Our whole media department dissolved completely. Brought in a consultant and then reshaped the whole department. As soon as we were finishing it, God just opened the door and we went on one of the largest TV networks in the world, Christian TV networks in the world, the Daystar Television, right? This was 2010. And it was so easy. And we were the first, they said we were the first ministry based in Africa to be able to get there. A channel that reached all over the world. Why? No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. You cannot be an effective role model if people cannot see you. For the Holy Spirit to be emphasizing these two services back to back, listen to me, Daystar. You cannot be an effective role model if people cannot see you. They need to be able to see your actions. They need to be able to see your achievements. They need to be able to see your behavior. Because that is when they will be, one, inspired, and they would know exactly what they are supposed to do. So the big question today is, right now, are you on a lamp or are you on a basket? Help me to ask someone close by, are you on a lamp or are you under a basket? I don't have much time today. Again, many years ago, I attended a seminar, a training for church leaders here in Lagos, and a young man, a gentleman, was speaking about social media, right? And this would be like 24 years ago or so, right? Is it 24? No, like 14 years ago or so, right? Like 14 years ago. So I attended this training. At that time, Facebook had taken off. I was not interested in it, right? I had been doing so powerfully well on radio, doing so powerfully well on TV. So what was the point? This social media thing, Facebook. But then I attended this training and this young person spoke about social media and the opportunities there for the church. And then the young man said something that stung. He said, I'm really concerned for the rate at which pastors are adopting social media in this country. He said they're not paying attention to it. Most of them don't even have accounts. And where they have accounts, they don't pay attention to it. If you ask them a question, they don't engage you. They're not answering anyone. He said they're losing huge opportunities. And I said, what? At that time, one of my proteges who was in London at that time, you know, had reached out and said, sir, I noticed you don't have a Twitter account. I said, no. He said, sir, I will open one for you. I said, go ahead. So he set up, right, my Twitter account. The pastor, he set up my Twitter account. I did not ask him for the login details. I did not know the login details. When we got back from that training, I told my personal assistant to call him and to get the password, right? Get this. It's amazing. I did not have any login details. Anyway, I got the login details. That was when I started tweeting personally. And within a short time, right? And I was engaging people and people would say, oh my God, Pastor Sam answered me. He replied me. Oh my God. Da, 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 da. And gradually, right? Gradually, from a few thousands, it grew to be 1.5 million people, right? Became a very important platform for reaching the world. Are you the man that is winking at a girl in the dark, knowing what you are doing, but nobody else knows what you are doing? I should let you know that Christ leveraged the best positions that he could get to reach the crowds. He climbed up the side of a mountain, right? In Matthew chapter 5, from where he taught the Sermon on the Mount. He went on a mountain. Why? It allowed him to stay at a higher level than the crowd so that the wind could carry his voice to the whole crowd. Luke chapter 5, he borrowed Peter's boat, right, and told him to push out a little bit and then spoke so that the wind that was coming from the sea could carry his voice to everybody else. If you are going to be a role model in this generation, you need to find your voice and you need to stand where people can see you. We're the home of stars and megastars. We are a stars manufacturing factory. Stars shine, right? You must leverage the media. You must leverage the media. Help me to ask the person next to you, how are you doing on social media? I will just ask, before you go stand on any lampstand, make sure that you have light. Amen? Make sure that you have light. Make sure that you have light. Make sure that you have light. No one lights a lamp. It is God that does the lighting. And what is it that took the light of mankind away? Sin, the nature of sin. And God sent Jesus Christ to restore the light. When we accept that the punishment that he took on the cross was on our behalf, and we ask God to forgive us. God forgives us. Amen. Whoo! Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready? There's an anointing that is coming on our church. There's a grace that is coming on our church, and it is the grace for visibility. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, the curse of obscurity is destroyed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whoever has been ordained by God to see you, we declare this season their eyes are open in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I was praying to God, 1994. What's the next level? What's the next level? How do I move from here? And then the marching orders came. Go on radio, teach people how to succeed. I'll never forget it. I was saying to God, oh, I am the teaching gift. Why don't people invite me to speak? Go on radio. And the moment I stepped on radio, a lamp, you know, set on the lamp stand, throwing light to people, the rest, like they say, is history. And I see God, thank you, Jesus. I see people taking delivery of divine instructions, of divine direction, of new visions, of new dreams during this season. There's a powerful wave of the Spirit of God that is coming, not only in our nation, but in a global dimension. Don't worry about some of the things that are going on, some of the things that are actually even threatening going on right now. Don't worry. That's how waves come. That's how change comes. But you just get ready. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And I'm prophesying over you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Whew. As I mentioned that I was going on radio, God had prepared the people who would help me. I prophesy in the mighty name of Jesus. I prophesy, we take control of the platforms in the mighty name of Jesus. Anyone taking your place on any platform will remove them. I prophesy in the mighty name of Jesus, favor like you have never known it before. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, your voice has become God's voice. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you will enjoy supernatural advertisement in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Heavenly Father, we're grateful. We're grateful. So I pray for that person who has been a part of this service who says, Pastor, my relationship with God is not okay. Can you please pray with me? Can you pray with me that God should forgive me my sins? If you're that honest person, can you please put your hand on your heart and let's pray together very quickly as we receive forgiveness from God. God bless you for your honesty. God bless you for your honesty. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that said this prayer. And thank you, Lord, because your attention is over us right now. New role models received into your kingdom. And Jesus, he said, there is joy in heaven among the angels when this happens. So thank you for the forgiveness of their sins. Thank you for removing the nature of sin from them. Thank you for turning their lives around. And we ask, Father, teach them to know you personally and teach them to love you. And then teach them to love other people the rest of their lives in Jesus' name. And someone said a powerful amen.